children. I know sometimes we get focused on one child, normally your child, you're focusing on them. Sometimes we go right by the message, but it really was a good message and beautiful songs. I really enjoyed that this morning. Hope you did too. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I look through the crowd we have here this morning, and I know most people cannot make it. So I see some of our visitors, and most of the visitors who are here, I know you, and I know of your faith in Christ. So let me focus from this standpoint. I have a responsibility to do what they just said, that last song, to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. The Apostle John was the one who made that statement in 1 John chapter 4, the 14th verse. John lived for 90 plus years. Some people believe that John lived to be at least 100 years of age. He's the only one who was not martyred. He probably wished he had been martyred, because a tradition says they boiled him in oil and he survived it. Spent time on the Isle of Patmos as a prisoner to Rome. And toward the end of his life, years after he had spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus himself, he wrote those words. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. When John first met Jesus, I don't think he fully understood that message. We won't turn there, but in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, of course, John wrote 5 books. He wrote the book of Revelation. He wrote 3 letters, the letters of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, and he wrote the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, another John is the one who's the focus, and that is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that the Word of God taught us in the book of Malachi and the book of Isaiah, I believe it was, that he would come and make the smooth places or the rough places plain and the mountains smooth, and he would lead the way for the Lord's appearing. And you see that when John was baptizing at the River Jordan, Jesus comes along. And John the Baptist had 2 apostles with him, or 2 disciples, 2 of John the Baptist's own disciples. One was Andrew, and the other one was, he's unnamed, but this was the tradition of John. He would never use his own personal name when he wrote. And he said there was another disciple of John with him, and everyone believes, and I believe, that it was John himself. So John the Baptist has 2 of his disciples. He's baptizing there at the River Jordan, and there comes Jesus. And John points, says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He baptized the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit descended on him. People saw it. They heard a voice from heaven. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The next day, John records this. John the Baptist stood there with those 2 disciples, and again Jesus was passing by, and he says, "Hey Andrew, hey John, look, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The Bible tells us that Andrew and John the Beloved, or the Apostle John as he would become known, went after Jesus. And Jesus turned and he said, "What seek ye?" And they said, "We're seeking you. We're coming after you." And they said, "Where do you dwell?" And he said, well, "Come and see." And they went that evening into his abode, wherever he was staying. Of course, we know that the Bible says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." He didn't have his own home, but wherever he was staying at the particular time, they went and they stayed with him that night. The next day, the Bible says, Andrew findeth his brother Simon Peter, and he said this, "We have found the Messiah." We have found the Messiah. That's a big deal. Because the Jews have been looking for the Messiah literally for centuries. They knew that one day he would come. They knew that one day he was going to show up on the scene, and their desire was that he would set up his kingdom. Now, we had a verse that we quoted together a little while ago there in the book of Isaiah. And you know those verses. In fact, a lot of people, you know, there's certain portions of Scripture that people just come to know. I mean, people who have no association with churches or religion, they just kind of know verses. One of those verses is John 3:16, and because this is always associated with this time of year, as we call it the Christmas season, they know Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he goes on to say this: his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah, hundreds of years before the birth of the Messiah, prophesied of his coming and emphasized what all Jews emphasize then and right now among those conservative or Orthodox Jews. There is a re-emphasis on the coming of their Messiah. They are pushing that truth right now. They know something's about to happen. They know it. They just don't realize who is Jesus that's the Messiah. The emphasis for the Jews was on the government. They had been dominated first by the Assyrians and then the Babylonians and then the Persians. Even Greece had some sense of control, and now they're under the domination of the Romans. That's all they'd known for centuries. Domination by foreign powers. They really didn't have their own nation. They were looking for someone to come along and take control. They would no longer be the tail. They would once again be the head, be the leaders. And they rested on the words of the prophet Isaiah that one day he would come up and set up a government and he would rule forever from the throne of his father David. They were looking for that. And I'm thoroughly convinced when Andrew found his brother Simon Peter and said, "We have found the Messiah," that was his emphasis. And I'm sure John, though he's not named, we do know it was him. When he went and he spoke to his brother James, he probably said the same thing. "We have found the Messiah." It's true that when Jesus came, he was the Messiah and has always been the Messiah and will forever be the Messiah. That's true. But do you remember what John said, John the Baptist said when Jesus came to the Jordan? He didn't say, "Behold the Messiah." What did he say? "Behold the Lamb of God that does what? That taketh away the sin of the world." That was the emphasis. And you notice when Andrew went and found his brother Peter, he didn't say, "We have found the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, I'm not saying that they didn't have a sense of understanding, but that was not the dominant thought. What they were looking for was someone to take the throne. In fact, for the next 3.5 years during Jesus' ministry, those 12 men especially, remember, he is teaching them. He is preparing them to evangelize the world. They were still looking for the Messiah. This is interesting. Now, I don't know if you have your Bibles, but I'm going to read something to you from the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, this to me is a very interesting thing. He speaks in chapter 1. Let me find this here for just a minute. In Acts chapter 1. Jesus is about to ascend back to heaven. After he rose from the grave, made it very clear that he was alive again. The Bible says he spent the next 40 days spending time with his disciples, sometimes with just a handful of the apostles, sometimes with all 11, and then sometimes with the larger group of disciples, maybe 120 people that were in the upper room. He said even at one point he was with 500 people at the same time. So sporadically during those days, those 40 days, he would make appearances and would encourage and teach and prepare those people for his ascension back to heaven and what God had determined that they would do. And that was to evangelize the world. And so he said there as he was about to ascend, let me just read from verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, now listen to this, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel? They didn't say, Lord, would you have us go out here and tell our neighbors about your ability to save? Would you have us go out here to the Gentiles and begin to spread the news that you can change them? You came to be a light to the Gentiles. They didn't say that. So are you going to set up your kingdom now? Jesus' response, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in my power. Let me kind of translate that a little bit. Guys, that's not the issue now. That's not what I want you to be focusing on. I don't want you to be focusing on that. And then he wanted to explain the next verse. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Don't worry about my kingdom. That will come in its own time. What I want you to be worried about right now is going out into your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and even the uttermost parts of the world, and tell them that I am the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's what I want you to do. Now, I mention all that because I know how easy it is to get sidetracked. You know, Paul kind of mentioned it. You know, he always has those little funny things he says at the end of announcements. For those who don't visit here very much, Paul does that constantly every week. And it's kind of enjoyable to listen to what he says. The children sang about it this morning. That was kind of the emphasis of the musical. We focus on all the trappings of this holiday season. And I don't have a problem with that. If you look over there at the house where I live, if you come by tonight, you'll see it all lit up. We got Christmas trees and we've got all kinds of decorations. I don't have a problem with that. But we cannot forget that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father did not just send a baby. So my family, we have done this since my children were small. We would all get in our vehicle and drive around town, look at Christmas lights. So this past Tuesday night, my daughter and her family, my little granddaughter Naomi, my little grandson Theo, we get in the vehicle together. It was pretty cool. They got a big SUV. So Debbie sat in the back seat with Naomi, and I sat in the middle seat with Theo. And we held hands the whole time. Now, that was cool. That was one of the funnest things I think I've ever done with Theo. Just held hands the whole time. We drove all over Bridgeport and other places just looking at Christmas lights. It was a lot of fun. And you know what I saw in a lot of people's yards? Manger scenes. And there's little baby Jesus. And next year at Christmas, there'll be little baby Jesus. And 10 years from now, there'll be little baby Jesus. And for a lot of people, it's not that they don't believe in Jesus, but he never leaves the manger. People who had never darkened the door of a church will put up manger scenes. You know that's true. God didn't send a baby. Oh, yes, he humbled himself and became a man. We know that. But the angel said to those shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Messiah? No. A baby? No. For unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What I am responsible to do with the message of, we like to say this way, the message of Christmas. It's to remind people the Father sent that Son, His only begotten Son, to be the Savior of the world. Because it won't much matter to anyone if they're in hell that they celebrated a baby, or that they knew theologically that He would and will be the Messiah. It won't matter if they're in the pits of hell. But it will make a difference if they recognize Jesus for who He is and place their faith and trust in Him. I look across this auditorium this morning, and I don't know that I see one person here that doesn't already know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Now, I've been found to be wrong on that. There have been times where people that have, we've had people sit here in this church for years, members of this church, who later on said, I was not saved. Every church I think I've been part of that's happened, so I can recall. Maybe there's someone here today, you don't know him. And if that would be the case, greatest thing that could ever happen to you is not get a brand new vehicle for Christmas. It'd be to get a brand new heart when Jesus Christ comes in and washes away your sin through His precious blood, and you put your faith and trust alone in Him. I can't save you. This church can't save you. The Son of God can. He can do that. But I would imagine most of you, if not all of you, know Him already as your Savior. Here's your assignment, not from me, but from Him. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the message of Christmas. Tell others. Let people know why Jesus came. Because the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The greatest verse in all the Bible, both to those who call themselves Christians, those who are non-Christians, is John 3:16. I mean, I'm driving up to Pittsburgh. This is a number of years ago. I'm on I-79, just about to get into Pittsburgh. And on my left was a massive billboard, and it just had this phrase of John 3:16, "For God so loved." Of course, you know the word "so" means massive love, indescribable love. God so loved the world. And we know the verse. Sometimes if you like football like I do, you're watching somebody getting ready to kick that extra point, and the cameras focus in on those goalposts, and inevitably there's someone in the bleachers, and they hold up a sign, and what does it say? Tell me. Yeah, John 3:16. Happens all the time. You see it all the time. NFL games, college games, doesn't matter. John 3:16. A lot of people know it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." I love that. I love the verse. I love that people think enough of that that they would make people curious. Well, John 3:16, what is that? And somebody grabs the Bible and looks it up and says, "Oh, I bet there's been some people that actually have come to know Him just from that little act." But it's that next verse. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God sent His Son for a specific reason, to save it. I'm a product of that. 49 years ago, in another state, Jesus saved my soul. I came to Him, and He said, "Whosoever cometh to Me," He said, I will not turn them away. "You come to Me," He said, "I will save you." So if there would be a chance that someone would be here and you don't know him, you know what? Right now, you can ask him. The man in the temple, tax collector, just said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Thief on the cross just said, "Father, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus, remember me. There are no magic words, but a sincere calling on Jesus Christ. If you recognize that Jesus came for you, if you recognized He shed His blood for you, if you believe the truth that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all sin, if you recognize that truth And then in sincerity and truth, you call on Him. Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe what You did for me. It really can be that simple. It can be that simple. So if you're sitting here, and maybe that's never really happened in your life, maybe you've told people it has, but maybe it hasn't, then you could call on Him right now. If you know Him today, to reemphasize what the children sang about, what the Scripture plainly teaches, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, that we would take that message wherever we go and tell others about Him. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. So I give you an opportunity while you're just sitting here. I'm not going to have a long time of invitation. I'll just have a verse on the piano played. And while you hear the verse, just take time to pray. If you don't know Him, call on Him. Ask Him. Ask Him to be your Savior. If you're here and you know Him already, just recommit yourself. And all the festivities that we'll celebrate in these next few weeks, that we not forget that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.